WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Linguist Jeff Nunberg has strong opinions about language and literature. Now he's observing his five-year-old daughter begin to develop her sense of taste.
The philosophers of the Enlightenment used to hold that nature endows everyone with an innate little kernel of taste, which grows with cultivation. I have to say that up to a while ago, my five-year-old showed no signs of any such organ. She has chewed Big Bird for a half-wit dinosaur who sings treacly songs about dental hygiene. And after that, well, what can I tell you about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? Think of the kids' adventure show that Ed Wood would have produced, except that this doesn't have the same high production values. And then all of a sudden, it started to emerge. In the car the other day, she asked me to put the Elvis tape on, and then when I did and it started to play It's Now or Never, she threw a fit and said she wanted to hear the one about the hound dog. And then there's this abrupt and unaccountable passion for the tales of Beatrix Potter. History hasn't been very generous to Potter, at least by comparison to her near-contemporary A.A. Milne. I expect one reason is that most people have trouble getting past the names of her characters, Benjamin Bunny and Tommy Tiptoes, and of course Peter Rabbit's siblings Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail. The irony is that there's nothing cloying about Potter's tales, none of the preciosity you find in Milne. I always have the feeling that the Pooh stories were written so that grown-ups would find them darling. Whereas Potter's an uncompromising realist, with a wryness that leaves her tales always coming out a little equivocal. Her stories are populated by real-life folk who fret about their livelihoods and get themselves caned and occasionally wind up as somebody else's dinner. There's no condescension in Potter's language, either. The other night, for example, we were reading The Tale of Johnny Town Mouse. This is really just Aesop's story of the country mouse and the city mouse, but Potter turns it into a contemporary tale. Johnny Town Mouse is an Edwardian dandy with a long tail and a white necktie who dines on the scraps of the elegant upstairs dishes and who talks a great deal like Max Beerbohm. When the country mouse says he has to return home, Johnny Town Mouse says, "I confess I am a little disappointed. We have endeavored to entertain you, Timothy William." I doubt whether even an Edwardian five-year-old would have made sense of that, and the Lord only knows what it meant to Sophie. She lay there with her eyes fixed in the middle distance, looking over every once in a while to check out the pictures and playing with a string of a Barney balloon she'd gotten at a birthday party earlier in the day. I read on. The city mouse visits the country mouse, who asks after his old friends. Potter writes, "Johnny's account was rather middling. He explained why he was paying his visit so early in the season. The family had gone to the seaside for Easter. The cook was doing spring cleaning on board wages with particular instructions to clear out the mice." Middling? Board wages? I looked over at Sophie, but she was still lying there, abstractedly twirling the string of her balloon. Maybe it doesn't matter, I thought. Maybe it's just like the structuralist used to say, literature is just the play of empty signifiers. I read on. There were four kittens, Johnny said, and the cat had killed the canary. Sophie sat up with a start. What's a canary? She asked. I guess that's what they mean by reading for the plot. And of course she's got it absolutely right. All very nice about the seaside and the cook, but when it comes to the crunch, it's the cat you want to keep your eye on. Just like everything else in childhood, listening in on all those incomprehensible conversations and trying to figure out what it really comes down to. It's supposed to get easier as time goes by. You get to be culturally literate, and you can pick up all the references and read the way a grown-up does. But then you realize that the only books that ever mattered to you are the ones that were too hard at the time. You think of the first time you read James or Joyce tearing through one paragraph after another in rapt incomprehension. It was never so agreeable again. Moby Dick would be no better if you took a course in whaling first. And who do you think gets more pleasure out of Johnny Town Mouse, Sophie or me?
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.